You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles, Series 4,
Episode 7.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 1st of July, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory,
wow,
head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
Hi. Hi again,
hello,
everyone.
Yes. And in the week that there has been one story that's kind of dominated the news, but we're not going to talk about it. So in the week that there have been some stories you may have missed, including police are warning people in central Manchester to beware of a mystery water bomber in the Portland House apartment block who is targeting members of the public walking along the street below.
A mystery water bomber.
Yes.
Sounds like uni to me.
Yeah.
Also, in the week where giant panda Xingxing gave birth to twins in the Macau region of southwestern China.
Oh,
twin baby pandas.
Great,
it's so cute.
Great news as well, because the pandas having so much trouble with the whole
baby thing.
Baby thing, yeah. Reproducing.
Anyway. So,
yeah. The manufacturing of new pandas.
Indeed.
And also this week, 72 new emoji have been introduced in Unicode 9, which was launched on the 28th of June and will come soon to your phone.
Hurrah.
Wow.
But in all of those weeks, here is the completely Brexit-free Geekly Chronicles.
Indeed. Yes, we're not going to touch on that particularly tricky topic at all this evening. We're just going to keep it lighthearted and full of fun entertainment for you. So that will be the last time we even mention the B word.
The B word. Indeed.
Yes.
Because instead of thinking about that at all, we are going to be celebrating Canada Day.
It is Canada Day today.
Yeah, we have the maple syrup on standby.
We do.
We do, and I'm going to pour it over everything, including the Chinese takeaway that will arrive halfway through the show.
Wow.
Fantastic.
In true Canadian style.
Yes.
We've got a lot of great stuff coming up on the show tonight. All of our usual great features. So we've got Would You Fund It coming up soon. It's my turn this week. Chris is currently in the lead, so I need to see if I can't beat you into submission. And
although I think, Kez, you are winning on Game of Geeks.
I am winning on Game of Geeks.
Yeah, with now four shows to two.
Yeah,
so,
and Game of Geeks is coming up towards the end. We've got another forecast. We've got the Tumble Fumble with you, Catherine.
We do.
And we have a very special guest tonight.
We do.
Professional Canadian Misty DeMeo is on the
real
show.
Real live Canadian.
Yes. So I'm really excited about that as well.
Yeah. It's loads. Also Creative Ice Cream Flavor Day today.
Ooh.
So if at any point during the show you have an idea for an ice cream flavor that should exist, do let us know.
Yeah, you tweet
in our chat room.
Yeah, tweet it to us or put it in the chat room, which we have. Tweets on Twitter, who'd have thought it?
Indeed.
And our chat room is the GKLY channel on Freenode IRC. Also, you can just, on the live player on the website, you can just look at the little chat widget below that.
Indeed.
And you can request songs.
Yay.
How can people do that, Catherine?
Well, you can tweet us and add the hashtag request. Or in the chat, you can simply type a it's request and then an exclamation mark. And then tell us what it is.
Request,
the other way around.
It's almost that
you'll,
right.
You'll figure
almost
it out. Right. I'm so close, it hurts. And just tell us what it is you want to request, and magic should hopefully make it happen.
Yep, so we're looking forward to magic will happen. Magic.
Well, I don't understand how any of it works, so therefore it's magic.
I see.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Wow. So
I know it's really science.
It's not really science. It's like two lines of code.
Yeah.
It's like
Chris wrote it whilst eating a sandwich.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
Obviously, we don't feel fine, but for the next 2 hours, we will be.
We will be pretending that everything's okay.
Nothing is on fire. Everything is fine. And
there's no need to panic or look at the news.
Well, indeed. And thinking of everything being fine, It's time for this week's Would You Fund It?
Yay!
Now, for listeners that are new or haven't listened much to this series, Would You Fund It is our... every show, one of the three of us pitches an idea to you, the listeners, and... you then have to decide whether you would fund it or not. So we're not actually putting these things on Kickstarter. But if we did, would you fund it? That's really the principle behind this thing. So we've pitched a few different things so far. I mean, I pitched a Big Brother style house where we'd put tax evaders in the wake of the Panama Papers scandal.
Yeah, I pitched a Alan Rickman themed game show.
That did not
that
get funded.
That did not get funded, surprisingly enough.
No.
Astonished.
The things in my brain are rather niche.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a touch. I pitched, I can't remember what the first thing I pitched was. Most recently, to save face here on radio, I pitched a, following the flotilla shenanigans.
Yes, it was Family Flotilla.
I pitched Family Flotilla.
You also did the Crystal Mayors.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's
the one. My powers of recall here.
I think that one's my favourite one.
At least someone can read the things that we've prepared.
Oh, and so I also pitched Bounty Locks and the Three Lads, which was...
another one that didn't get funded.
Another one that didn't get funded, and I thank you all for that. But this week, I have something that is potentially more awful than Bounty Locks, but...
Oh,
but
dear.
That I hope gets funded, because it would actually occupy... So, you know selfies?
I'm aware
familiar.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah, we all take them. Whether we like to admit it or not, we all take selfies. I take loads of selfies, and I don't even know why. But...
I mainly take selfies in hotel rooms with small kettles.
Ah, tiny kettle, I see what you did. So, I don't know if you remember back a couple of series ago, we did Bad Song of the Week.
Oh, I remember all too well.
Yeah, and so Chris and I would suggest bad songs, and they would battle it out, and people would vote. And one of the songs that was the worst song of the series,
oh yeah,
was a song called Hashtag Selfie by the Chainsmokers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are some people that genuinely take selfies that seriously. And so I thought to myself this week, what if we could take all of those people and make a game for them to occupy them and kind of get them away from the rest of us? And so in the spirit of turning things into video games, or turning video games into things, I was inspired a bit by the news also that Tetris was being turned into an epic three-part movie.
I know, this just blows my mind.
Mm. Yeah, and I hope they have like a full orchestral score of the Tetris theme. That'd be great. Yeah, that would be amazing.
I'm going to stop doing that.
Yeah. It's like quite entertaining.
But after the show, I am going to record you doing that for my new ringtone.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, Catherine doing that will be my ringtone. But what we got together and worked out, what my proposal for this week's Would You Fund It is what would happen if you made Hashtag Selfie the video game. This summer, it's time to play with your selfie. That's right, it's the game that puts you in the picture. Coming soon to Android, iOS, and that other one that nobody's heard of. It's Hashtag Selfie the Video Game. Oh my god, it's like a totally great game. I like run around the city and like find people to take selfies with. You can share your virtual selfies on social media.
Let me take a selfie.
I can't believe William Shatner liked my selfie on Twitter.
Make your way around LA and find celebrities like Oprah, Will Smith, and Brad Pitt. Where are you, Brad? I'm ready for you, Brad. Take selfies at iconic LA landmarks like the Hollywood sign, Universal Studios, and the Walk of Fame.
At last. It took me all day to find my most favourite star in the Walk of Fame, but I can finally take this photo with Alec Baldwin. What do you mean it doesn't count as a selfie with Alec Baldwin if it's his star and not actually him? Oh well, at least I can unlock the landmark achievement. Jack Donaghy.
Order now for a chance to get exclusive downloadable content packs, including other cities like New York, Pyongyang, and London.
I can't wait for the London version of the game. I want to get a selfie with the Queen.
Which Queen? Queen Latifah?
Freddie Mercury?
John Barrowman?
All of the above.
Hashtag selfie. It's a song. It's a game. It's just awful. Buy it now. Please, God, buy it now. So there you go.
I think I would play this.
Well, but mostly just because Lumpy Space Princess is apparently one of the players in the advert.
Yeah, well, I mean...
But I want the Cardiff edition.
The because, Cardiff edition.
Yeah, because then we'd have all the Doctor Who landmarks
That's
and cast
true.
To collect selfies with.
Get that a selfie really with Peter my... Capaldi. And I've actually already done
it's
that.
The dream.
Yeah, we've done that already. In real life, not a virtual
We have.
Selfie.
We have indeed. So...
If you get... a selfie in real life with a person, can you cash it in for one in the video game as well?
I think you should be able to.
That's a good idea.
I think that
yeah.
should earn you kind of extra special bonus points.
It's a bit like a combination of Ingress and Swarm and Everything Wrong with the World.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you remember a social network, Empire Avenue, which is like trading stocks in your social media profiles?
A little bit, yeah.
They had some kind of real world things that you could do and kind of cash them in for, you know, extra kudos or badges and things. Like you could actually go and have your photo taken at Empire Avenues. And if you managed to collect 3 of them, you got like an extra badge and some stuff.
Well, and that's obviously a really great game mechanism because everyone's heard of Empire Avenue and it totally works.
I know, yeah.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining selfie will do just as well.
Great. So how can you vote?
Well, if you like or don't like this idea, please do let us know whether you would fund it or not at gkly.co/fundit, where you can cast your vote. Or you can vote in our Twitter poll over on our Twitter account, which is at gklyco.
Ooh.
Indeed.
That's quite exciting.
And
we've already had some people commenting on it in the chat room. Prosec is just twitching vigorously, and I'm going to assume that's positively. Lassie Nessie says, well, I mean, this is better than Bounty Locks. That is a fair point.
That's not untrue.
OB6160 says, 11 out of 10 would play. It's not bad at all. And Inspector Sans has just joined the channel, which I believe means there's a fire and we all should consider evacuating soon.
Yes.
A little tube humour there for you.
Dweeb liked Banty Locks.
Really?
So there's your benchmark for success.
Okay. So, but if you like Banty Locks, then surely you'll like... hashtag selfie the game. Mm. But you can listen back to our previous Would You Fund It's as well on our YouTube channel. So if you missed Banty Locks and all our others, you can head to the GKLYCO channel on YouTube and listen back to the old ones. Very exciting.
You can.
Well, I think it's very exciting anyway.
You can You can put yourself through that experience again.
You can put your selfie through that experience
oh,
again.
No.
Oh, dear.
Going to be doing that all night.
I have no doubt about that.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's like if Pointless had a deathmatch round.
So we said that we weren't going to talk about that thing that happened, last week.
So what else has happened?
Well, there's been loads of things happening in the news that you might have actually missed, listeners. Some serious, some not so serious. Because there have been, you know... undue news coverage of that thing that we're not going to talk about. And one of the big ones, which I thought was brilliant, was that Fallujah was liberated. It was like, great news, fantastic. Iraq's government forces recaptured the city of Fallujah. There you go. You know, whatever you know, side of that debate you're on, whatever, you know, whatever you think, it's nice that some liberation happened.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course, I already talked about the panda, Xing Xing giving birth to twins.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cute. Baby pandas are born pink, apparently, and they turn black and white a month or so later. So there's this adorable picture from the Macau Government Information Bureau of Xing Xing just sniffing this pink little rodent-looking thing on the floor.
Mm. There's also been news of a FARC ceasefire. It says the Colombian government and the Marxist guerrilla organization FARC signed a peace agreement designed to end 60 years of fighting. So peace is good.
Yeah, peace is good. We like peace.
We do.
Yep. Can't have too much peace.
So Eurovision would lead you to believe?
Yeah, and Iceland elected a new president as well this week. Just, you know.
Indeed.
Usually that would be news.
Usually that would be news. You'd think. Just didn't see it.
Yeah. There's been
In fact, you probably heard more about Iceland's football team than
that's true.
Their new president.
I think that's only because people were so upset that they beat England. Mm. Whatever. Everyone beats England, don't they? Okay. If any football fans are listening, please feel free to correct me, but I know nothing about football other than what footballers look like.
That's more than I know.
Yeah.
I'm barely even okay with the concept. I don't... There's a ball, there's some feet, that's all I know.
I think you're describing many, many pastimes, most of which we can't discuss on air at this point in time, but...
Yeah, well.
Well.
Anyway, there's been some slightly less good news this week as well.
Oh, no. What?
Which is that top dentist Nigel Hunt has warned against office cake culture, like where people bring in cakes when it's people's birthday or when there's something to celebrate.
Like a Tuesday.
Yeah, like a Tuesday. Because apparently there's sugar in cake.
No.
And and that eating too much of that is apparently not good for the whole teeth situation.
What a hunt.
I know.
Mm. What an absolute hunt, Nigel.
But, if he says...
A bit of a Jeremy, really.
He is a bit of a Jeremy, as they say.
He says, don't give them up entirely, but at least mix them up with some nuts, cheese and fruit platters, which sounds delightfully dull.
So what, you put the cake in a bowl and then you mix it up with nuts, cheese and fruit? That just sounds disgusting.
That sounds vile. I don't think that's what
Can I just have a plate of cake, a plate of cheese, a plate of nuts and a plate of fruit and just eat all of that?
Gee, that sounds like a decent meal for the day.
Yeah, you have the cake course, then you have the cheese course, and then you nibble on some nuts during the rest of the afternoon.
Hmm. I actually saw a job advert today, which at the end of it, it said, you know, when you apply, you know, we want somebody that can both either bake or eat cake because they apparently like eating cake in the office. And I was thinking, I actually want to apply for this because I want to tell them all about my favourite muffins to make. Not because I actually wanted the job, but just because I felt inspired to tell them what I could bake for them, which is quite bizarre. But apparently we shouldn't be doing that, which is a bit sad.
It is a bit.
Yeah, and Dan Tommel in the chat room has said the Colombian Civil War also ended this week. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Also says it's a week of Nigel's doing scary things, but we won't talk about the other Nigel because we're not talking about that.
No.
Yes.
Not this week. I believe someone is pretending to be our robot in the chat room. We have a robot in the chat room, Geeklybot, that takes requests and things. And someone else who was previously Inspector Sands has renamed themselves to the robot and is starting to tell people that they're adding requests to the request queue. So apparently Nigel by Nigel has been requested. Uh-huh. Rest assured, we will not be playing anything Nigel related this evening.
Well, that's a relief.
we won't be. None of the good songs are by anyone called Nigel.
Although there is a song about making plans for Nigel. Well,
that is true, but we won't play it.
Okay.
Not tonight. It's banned.
It's a Nigel-free zone.
Because we all know Nigels don't make plans.
Nigels don't make plans. They don't let you have cake, and we're not talking about them.
They certainly don't let you eat it.
And obviously another story is that there's new emojis. I'm quite excited about those.
So, yeah, tell us more about those because I'm excited for new emojis too.
I have found a list.
Have you checked it twice?
No, I haven't.
Although actually, I did see
get on that.
I did see a Mrs. Claus on that list, so that's quite a relevant joke.
Indeed.
I didn't even know it.
I'm rather excited to have a drooling face emoji because I quite often want this when I'm talking about foods I like, maybe talking about cake in offices.
I can't help but see that emoji being totally reused. You know, you see those like tweets of people that are contacting people on dating apps and being massively inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So that's going to get even worse if there's a drooling emoji.
That's true.
Oh. Mm. I have faith in people. They'll just tweet it next to the donut emoji and make Homer Simpson references.
That's
be
what
fine.
I'm going to use it for.
Pizza, drool.
We also have a pregnant woman emoji. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Drool. No.
I'm seeing pregnancy announcements of the future being made by just tweeting the pregnancy emoji. So, yeah.
I shouldn't talk about the sneezing face emoji.
There's a sneezing face.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know
it actually look like a sneezing face.
I don't know. I can't see it. I just have a list of them written down.
They don't exist yet.
Fine.
I notice on this list, though, there is a selfie emoji. Relevantly for your would you fund it?
Sorry,
we can have it in the game.
Yes, we can add that to this game.
We also have some new fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. Kiwi fruit and avocado, potatoes and carrots.
There's a cucumber in there. There's a lot of other non-fruit and veg food as well. We've got pancakes, bacon, there's an egg.
I was sure there was already a pancakes emoji. I must have imagined that.
I think there was a waffles emoji.
Yeah.
But on some phones, it looks kind of like the pancake, like okay. It's pancakes because...
Yeah, I mean, I've got a good phone and it looks like waffles on mine. I know that you two don't, so...
It looks like waffles on mine.
Does it?
Yeah.
All right, it's just you, Catherine.
Yeah.
You've got that other phone that nobody... No. Harping back to the... would you find it there?
Yes.
As a Walking Dead fan, I'm quite pleased to have face with cowboy hat.
Yeah, I can imagine you would be.
Just quite, you know...
Also, motor
interest.
Scooter.
Okay.
Well, you have that pop vinyl with the guy on the motor scooter and the...
It's more of a, motorcycle. I would say a scooter is more of a, like a little thing. You know, like a... I don't know what I'm talking about now.
It's kind
a
of small, like, I don't know, like a Vespa.
I've just stopped listening to you,
yeah.
Catherine. Sorry. You were
so
talking.
So we've got some new emoji.
As a Star Trek fan, I like the fact that I'm getting a fencing emoji.
That's true.
But you're getting more. As a Star Trek fan, there's more stuff happening. That was, that was other news this week.
That was other news. All of Star Trek is on Netflix UK.
It is. All of it.
Well, there goes the next sort of 8 months of my life.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I've already seen all of Star Trek, it's nice to know that I can now watch it again without having to get my DVDs out.
Yeah, or just, I fancy, what was it in that episode at that, and you can just...
I don't think most people think, what was that one thing in that one episode? I think that's more a Trekker like yourself, Catherine.
Yeah. But I'm not denying that I am one.
That is true.
The benefit of all of this, the Star Trek being on Netflix as well, is that you can just keep watching and it will keep queuing up the next one.
Yep.
And you don't even have to think about what you're doing until you are 20 episodes in and it pops up that screen saying, you're still there.
20 years later and you're still watching Star Trek.
Because Netflix does that thing, doesn't it, where it says, still awake, still with us. Do you want to keep?
It did make me think that actually it could introduce a lot of new people to Star Trek, but it's really, there's a lot of it and a lot of people are quite put off by how much Star Trek there is.
Yeah.
So I was actually thinking the other day, there must be a way that we can try and abridge Star Trek for people, and not necessarily telling the stories of the series, but maybe telling the stories of some of the characters. Because if you sell the story of a character, then maybe people will tune in. So I mean, what are some of your favorite characters from Star Trek?
I think Spock was a massive influence when I was growing up.
I can tell
that. I'm so logical. But no, I think I did, and I think, but actually I think he introduced quite a bit of stress into my life, because I think I very much valued his the logic and that the other not emotional side. And I think for a long time I kept trying to separate my emotions from my decision making, and I actually think I attribute that to Star Trek, and actually I don't need to do that, and it took me quite a while to accept that.
Well, this conversation is making me want to separate my mind from my body. Well, that's
okay, fine. I won't share my innermost turmoil with the world.
Right, that's very interesting. I mean, I for a similar reason, I always looked up to Catherine Janeway. Captain Janeway was just so awesome. I just wanted to be Captain Janeway so much. She's just amazing.
Yeah, I don't think I really got her at the time, but I think looking back, I just, having that kind of role model growing up in the 90s was amazing. And I'm really glad that we kind of had that, got to grow up with, things like, Buffy and Captain Janeway and stuff on the TV. And I don't know if that kind of thing is really out there now.
No, but I think we can get new people into it if we just make the characters appealing and draw them in. So I thought, let's focus on a character from Star Trek and see if we can get people interested. And of course, the best character in Star Trek The Next Generation is Wesley Crusher.
Okay, I was going to say Reg Barkley, but I'm with you. I'm getting on board with Wesley Crusher.
Everyone likes Will Wheaton, right? And so I thought to myself, what? I'm down with the kids, right? I'm cool. I know what the kids of today watch and what's going to appeal to them. So,
oh dear.
I thought, how could I make Wesley Crusher appeal to people today? And so I came up with this. Now, this is a story all about how my whole universe got flipped upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, be a good sport. I'll tell you how I became a traveller of pure thought. In San Francisco, born and raised, on the grounds of the academy I spent my days nerding out, learning. I wasn't all cool, sucking up to my teachers after school. Then a bald-headed guy who fancied my mum came to the door all sad and glum. He looked us both in the eye and solemnly said, "It's my duty to tell you that your father is dead." I cried and I cried, day after day, but my mum packed our cases. We were on our way to serve under that man who came to our door and boldly go where no one had gone before. Galaxy class, yo, this is mad. Flagship of the fleet, 24 transporter pads. Is this what deep space living is like? If I can get to the bridge, it'll be alright. Over the next 4 years, I learned propulsion and steering. Except for that time I got drunk in engineering. I got tips on girls from Riker and learned how to flirt. But from the crew of the ship I was about to divert. Ensign Crutcher, bitches, an academy man. Flying Nova Squadron, well that was the plan. I got to dizzy heights, my commander was bent. So I sprung the academy and with the traveller I went. See?
Wow. That was just...
Everyone loves the Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
Kids of today, sure. In particular.
The kids of today,
the kids
yes.
Of today.
I am down with them.
Uh-huh. Are you?
Do you know,
are
Will
you really?
Smith is now as old as Uncle Phil was in The Fresh Prince.
Yeah, sweetie, I didn't actually watch Fresh Prince. I just know the opening. Because I'm down with the kids and all that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Clearly.
So I think that'll help. That'll help people get more into Star Trek.
Okay.
Do you not think?
I don't know. Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, and the only real comment we had in the chat room is someone going, "Oh Lord." So I'm assuming that's a good thing. I'm going to take that as a good thing. But sure. I think all we need to do is just write a few more songs about a few more characters from Star Trek and we're sorted. So I'm going to set myself a challenge and I'm going to try and do one for the next show as well.
Okay. So Do you remember what your first episode of Star Trek was?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was really into
you
Voyager.
Like you had this whole thing
We should so script the show beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. I remember watching Voyager before I watched anything else, and I think I started watching Voyager at the beginning.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because it was on repeats on the TV when I started watching it. So I think my first episode of Star Trek was the first episode of Voyager.
Wow.
And I was hooked. And then at the time, I thought The Next Generation looked lame. And then I got really into that as well. Then I watched DS9. And then after that, I started some original series. So I kind of did it in different orders. But
I think I worked through in order, actually, mostly.
Yeah, I mean, I only got interested in it after I'd caught it on TV once.
Yeah, I did the same. Just, you know, a Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, BBC Two, Star Trek was on. I didn't even know it was Star Trek when I was watching it. It was the first part of The Menagerie, which is the only two-part episode in the original series.
Oh.
So I had to wait till next week to find out what happened, and then I realised it was Star Trek. I was like, oh, this is cool.
That's cool. Well, I think maybe we should do a Geekly Does Star Trek sometime for people that are new to it. But it is very good, and we are geeks, hence the name Geekly, I suppose. Mm.
Self-explanatory,
yeah,
really.
We'll give that a go.
Indeed we will.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's time for this week's Tumble Fumble. Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
That's you, Catherine, by the way.
Yeah.
You do the Tumble Fumble.
It appears we're not ready for a scroll in the hay.
Are you ready to sit there and not say anything?
Yes, always.
Excellent.
So with it being Canada Day, obviously
haven't mentioned that already.
We have.
Hundreds of times. I know, I'm joking.
What?
We're probably going to say...
I didn't think we mentioned it excessively.
It's Canada Day. All the time.
We haven't said it much yet, so I thought I would remind people.
Listeners, in case you haven't heard, it's Canada Day.
Okay, well, fine.
Now
right.
We've got that sorted.
So I was thinking about Celine Dion, and then I came across this Twitter account.
I was thinking about Celine Dion. That's my epitaph. Here lies Gaz Guy, and blah, blah, blah. I was thinking about Celine Dion.
And then it happened.
Yes.
Well, it's about to happen.
Prepare yourself, Kate.
So there's a Twitter account called Titanic on Things, essentially saying that things are better with Titanic, the Titanic theme added. So things
and my
like
heart will go on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So things like Boris Johnson on a zip wire.
Oh, I saw that one.
and you know, scenes from Coronation Street or Doctor Who. We've actually got a few here ready for you to hear. So which one have we got first, guys?
Well, my favourite. So we all had a look at this account and picked some that we liked. And I really like you know, that scene from Harry Potter in the, I think it's the third one, The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah.
He's down by the lake and he's waiting for what he thinks is his dad to come. Sorry if I'm spoiling this for anyone, by the way.
Yeah. But
he's
hashtag
spoiler alert! You know, 15 years after it came out.
Yeah, I feel like if you've not seen it by now.
Yeah. He's waiting down by the lake and he's got his wand out and Hermione's back there yelling, "Harry, you're going to die. Nobody's coming. You're going to die." And he's like, "No, he'll be there. He'll be there." And then he suddenly has the realization that he's the one that he's about to see. And so he does the whole "Expecto Patronum" and, you know, makes his patroness and all of that. It's brilliant. And actually they did that as a thing as well. So we'll see if we can play that for you now. It works, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
This is even better with the visual. So we've tweeted a link out to Titanic on Things if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
Other favourites also include.
Oh, yeah. So the Doctor regenerating, David Tennant's regenerating.
Yes.
Well, that was brilliant.
So obviously, it's a rather spectacular, fiery regeneration.
Yeah, and you have this like epic music in the background. And like he's there and he gets all weepy and emotional and he's taking forever and ever and ever.
Kind of goes all glowy at this point.
Yeah.
And then he goes, waiting for it.
I don't want to go.
There he goes.
And then he explodes.
He just explodes and sets the whole TARDIS on fire.
Yeah. So that's quite a good one.
It's significantly improved.
Adding Celine Dion to anything really does work. But you saw one even from Coronation Street, didn't you?
Yeah, so I haven't watched Coronation Street in about 20 years since my parents kind of gave up watching it. But, you know, it was still characters I was aware of.
Really? So we captured that. So it seemed like there's some kind of car chase going on. They're driving around.
He's all over the road!
The kids are fine with him. It looks like he broke free.
He's going to crash.
Oh, no.
Starting.
Something's about to go horribly wrong.
Clearly.
I think that's a car going into
a river, or a
canal or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really does work. You can add "My Heart Will Go On" to anything.
You really can
make it better.
Anything at all.
Yeah.
And that also fulfills our obligation to play some Celine Dion on Canada Day without actually playing Celine Dion on Canada Day.
Hurrah.
So we're good.
We've avoided that.
And listeners, in case you didn't know, it's Canada Day today.
Yes.
And what else have we got on the Tumble Fumble this week, then,
okay,
Catherine?
So on the Tumble Fumble, we also have...
If your next Tumble Fumble item is very Bryan Adams heavy, then I'm going to be impressed.
No. This one isn't so Canada related. This one is a sort of simple concept. Faces in things.
Faces in things.
I think we talked about, you know, things that look like Hitler a few fumbles ago.
We did.
Yes.
So this is... I suppose similar, except it's just faces in things as opposed to Hitler's face.
so much nicer.
Yeah.
So twitter.com/facespics will take you to look at faces in things. So it's faces.
Don't misspell that, because twitter.com/feces pics is much worse.
Oh, no, don't type that. What have we got faces in? I mean, faces in everything. Well, from
there's a sink here that looks like Jay Leno, which is quite funny.
Okay, a sink,
because it kind of does. There's a face in the mirror, but you know, not a face in the
not
mirror.
The person that's looking in the mirror. Clearly.
There is no one looking in the mirror.
Have a face in a door.
there's a wooden... I think this is some kind of table or something, but it's like a natural wood
grain.
Sort of grain. And the way the grain is gone, it looks like two wizards having a fight. And
that's
it is amazing. I'm retweeting
it now.
That is good.
That is good.
But, oh, wow. I love that. It's a terrified looking plug.
Those the US plugs do have very kind of very emotive looks to them.
There's a shadow that looks like a cat.
There's a very happy little space heater.
Happy space heater.
There's an advert that Shell Garage have put into the Twitter feed, which just has a large picture of Pixie Lott. So I guess that technically counts as a face.
Yeah, that's sponsored.
She's a person.
Yeah. A smiling hand by.
Okay, so things have faces. Yes. That's what I'm getting from there.
You know, as humans, we're sort of geared to see faces in things.
We are.
And it just wonderfully exploits that.
Traffic lights that look angry. That's quite funny.
Oh, well, I was just checking in the chat room, and Scattermoon is wondering back to Celine Dion if that's what everyone hears before they die.
Oh, no.
The end is coming and suddenly you can hear My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Suddenly everything gets a bit dramatic.
It's like if you can smell toast, you're having a stroke. If you can hear Celine Dion, you're going to die.
Your days are numbered. Oh, dear.
Really, that's the worst version of The Ring ever. It's not like 7 days. It's my
heart. It's just by the time you get to the chorus.
You're here.
At least like you've got that kind of panpipes bit at the start where you just kind of... I guess that's the soundtrack when your life flashes before your eyes. You have the panpipes and then the chorus hits. And
yeah, and Scattermoon did also say, over. I now have to be wary of panpipe bands. So it's very true, very true.
If they're ever out in the street in your town. You know.
What Something else have you bad. Found on the internet this week, Catherine?
So this one, I didn't really know if it worked or if it was fumble-worthy, and I had to ask you guys, because this one is called Classic Programmer Paintings. Obviously, I don't know anything about programming, as knowledge of things like Geeklybot. And
you say
the request
that like
queue.
I do, Catherine, and I built it.
You know, I have no knowledge of these things. So, but apparently, it's fairly all right.
I've done a code or two in my life,
just a couple.
So this one is classicprogrammerpaintings.com, or you can find it at prog.paintings on Twitter. It's paintings using them like reaction images if you were a programmer, I presume. Are there any that you can see which are particularly good?
I was scrolling through this when you sent it to me, I did spot a couple that I absolutely loved, but I'm just trying to find them again now. Yes, there's one that makes me laugh a lot, but the caption is, it's RTFM, but I can't tell you what that means.
Read the...
something.
The
manual.
Read the fine manual.
Yes.
There's, got somebody here who's clearly a sculptor. We're having a bit of a snog with the sculpture that he's made. And the caption is 20% time project. So I get that one.
One that I quite like. There's a massive kind of crowd full of people. There are people kind of laying slain on the ground. Someone celebrating their victory. And it just says, Vim Enthusiast, join the Slack channel. Which
there's one that's got a kind of monster on the right holding up this sort of tome to someone in very kind of formal regalia. And it just says, end user license agreement.
So true. Click here to accept.
Yes. If you are a programmer or you dabble in the dark arts, it would seem, of coding and programming and so on and so forth, then you'll probably be entertained by a few of these paintings.
The adoration of the shell script. That's another one that I quite like.
Someone appears to be being knighted that just says 12-week web dev boot camp graduation. I think we've all felt like that at some point.
Well, those of us that do code, those of us that have done a code every now and then, is we do feel like that.
Yes.
Well, what else have you found on the internet, Catherine?
Well, this one isn't really a thing that you can follow. It's just a thing.
Just a
Indeed.
Thing
that
amused
we
us.
We saw on the internet and it amused us.
I spent most of this morning, probably a good hour and a half, just giggling at this thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised because it is very, very funny.
It is. Yeah.
This one is both audio and visual.
Yes.
And is the wonderful moment when a vacuum cleaner meets a harmonica.
Yes, it's just brilliant.
It sounds like this.
To me, it almost sounds like the Windows 95 startup noise. But
to me, I didn't jump there. I went, you know when you see a THX film in the cinema and you get that kind of noise at the start? That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah. It just says the audience is listening.
Yeah, we should dub that over the THX. We should. That's brilliant.
Apparently this got posted sometime last week. And it seems to have been a trend of people in Japan putting harmonicas on the floor and then just kind of vacuuming them.
Up to them.
Right.
the video is great, and I have retweeted it from the Geekly account, but...
This tweet has had sort of 250,000 retweets.
It has. Brilliant. It's amazing. And it's very, very entertaining.
And even more likes. Yes. It's just, yeah, it's incredible.
Maybe
so simple, but gives us such joy.
I'm going to play it again.
Fair enough.
I should hoover my house, really.
You should. Have you got a harmonica?
That's a good excuse. Sorry, yeah. I can't do the hoovering this week. I don't have a harmonica.
But you could get someone to hide the harmonica somewhere in your house.
You just
and it would encourage
up.
You to
like you
keep
go under
hoovering
the sofa
until you
and
find
you just
it.
Kind of find it there by here.
That is not bad, actually, how to get encourage people to hoover their
just
houses.
Leave harmonicas under cabinets.
You could do a harmonica hiding service.
That's a would you fund
we will
it right
come
there.
Into your home.
Way to solve problems that yes. don't actually exist there, Catherine. I like it.
Like
it's
most
a first
on
world problem and a half.
It's made me wonder what other instruments you can play with a vacuum cleaner. Because, like, brass and woodwind all involve a certain amount of airflow.
Yeah, but with brass, you need to
kind of
like,
make that.
It's a different... Yeah, with brass, you've got to go...
So
with woodwind, you've got to get the vibration against your lip. It's...
But with brass, could you, like, put a plastic bag over the vacuum cleaner so it kind of makes that kind of flappy about... And then
it's worth a try.
I think we have to explore this.
Can we play a tuba with a vacuum cleaner and a bag from Tesco?
Or you could just make sounds. Or you could just make sounds by hoovering up things that are kind of noisy. Like hoovering up rice is really clacky.
That's true.
That could be the percussion section.
Mm-hmm. You know those little bells that people sometimes put on like cats' collars and stuff? If you hoovered one of those up, it'd probably sound quite pleasant.
So I'm thinking the vacuum cleaner orchestra needs to happen now.
Yes.
You'll have lead harmonica. We'll have a percussion section. Including
like
bells.
Rice and pasta bells.
We have to see if we can use a carrier bag and,
and
a hoover to play brass.
Section.
How would we do woodwind?
Hmm.
How would you play a violin?
With
this
a
is exclusively going to have to be instruments that you blow.
Yes, I suppose it must.
But, you know,
I'm
I think
just
a great orchestra
do you think
idea.
Very excited by the phrase vacuum
get
cleaner
anything,
saxophonist.
Get anything going with a didgeridoo and a vacuum cleaner.
I'm
gosh,
sure
you must be able
you
to. Could, or at least I a mean, leaf blower
yeah,
and a didgeridoo.
Put it in reverse and kind of...
Now, my hoover doesn't have a reverse button on it, but, you know,
but, you know
see what
some
I can
of
do.
Them do. I'm sure we can find a hoover that appropriately...
That both sucks and blows.
So next week's Would You Fund It?
We can make this happen.
Speaking of Would You Fund It, don't forget to let us know if you would fund
yes,
it.
If you would fund Selfie the video game, which is this week's entry, over at gkoy.co/fundit or on our Twitter account at gkoyco, where we have tweeted a poll.
We're almost halfway through the show, which is great.
We are indeed.
We've got our very special guest for the week coming up.
Real live Canadian.
Yes, coming up very, very soon.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
It's like the Go Compare guy, only less annoying and more tuneful.
Now, as you may or may not be aware, listeners, today is Canada Day. We are celebrating here in the studio, even though we're not actually in Canada. We thought
define
we would...
celebrating.
Well, I'm using it as an excuse to eat lots of food.
Yeah, all and, right, that makes sense.
Yeah, and generally just, you know, be happy and jolly. You know, I find that there, for some reason, so little to celebrate about my own culture right now that I'm very happy to celebrate other people's. And we are joined on the line now by our very special guest from Canada
Canadian.
Itself, a professional Canadian, Misty. Hello, Misty.
Hello.
It's very lovely to have you on the show. How are you doing?
I am doing quite well, thank you. And it is very lovely to be on the show as a long-time listener.
Misty, you know, you've been a listener for some time. Well, for a long time. I can't remember a time when you know I wasn't seeing Misty coming up in the Geekly chat and everything every other Friday. But so can you tell everyone a little bit more about you? What do you do? Would you love?
Sure. I'm a huge nerd. These days I'm a computer programmer, but I went to library school and I worked in libraries and archives for many years before I got into the computer programming biz. I'm a nerd for weird literature and old video games and a lot of other painfully obscure stuff like that.
After my own heart. So, libraries and archivists, tell me a bit more about that world. That sounds fascinating. I don't think I've, other than my school librarian days, I don't think I've really known much about that world.
So I've worked mostly in archives, which is preservation and cataloging of original records. So unlike libraries, which is mostly focusing on, you know, published material, things that exist in multiple places, archives are more about original records that people or institutions created in the process of doing their business in their day-to-day lives or day-to-day operations.
And what was the most interesting thing that you uncovered or was responsible for in your days doing working with archives?
So I've done a lot of work on digital preservation. So I've spent a lot of time dealing with a lot of weird and interesting digital media. At my last job as an archivist, I was working for a company that actually worked with a lot of other archives, and that meant that I saw quite a lot of things that were in people's collections, anywhere from people who had large collections of original video games, like source code, to famous video games that you would have heard of, and all of their original source assets, to weird video formats taken directly off of digital videotapes and all that kind of thing, and dealing with all of the different preservation concerns and just questions and figuring out how do we actually cope with all of this stuff.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, I would have, I'd have been like a kid in a candy shop with that stuff. That's amazing. I love looking at all of that old stuff and preserving old things. I have a huge collection of retro technology and boxes of old software dating from the early 80s through to present day.
I mean, part of your website is built in Front Page 1995.
That is true. That is very true. I do enjoy that. I still run and maintain a web ring, which is harping right back to the 90s. But what would your advice to me be then, Misty, to properly take care of and archive all of these things? Because obviously, I don't want to give up my collection of stuff. It's very important and very valuable to me. What are your top archivist tips for me to keep my stuff safe and well preserved?
Migrate your media to new media. No individual like piece of storage hardware is going to last forever. So make sure that you're migrating things onto new media and onto something that you can continue to move forward over time. So if you have boxes full of floppy disks, those are probably at the highest risk of dying and not being readable anymore soon. But migrating all of those onto modern media is going to be a lot easier to sort of keep moving forward onto something that's still fresh and at a low risk for immediate damage.
I think I found the new summer project for the next 50 years.
Yeah. Next 50 summers.
Yes.
That sounds like the perfect summer to me.
So I'm curious, Canada Day, how is it actually celebrated in Canada?
There's a little bit of variation depending on the part of the country that you're in, but fireworks are a usual thing in most parts of the country. You tend to have very elaborate fireworks shows, usually the biggest ones of the year. People will often go out and have barbecues and gather with family members. And in some cities, you'll often get street festivals and that kind of thing.
That sounds really lovely. But in a country like Canada, where there is such a huge French-speaking populace as well, is there much difference between the kind of the culture or even between in the food in these different areas?
There is a lot, and the language is very regional. So we often think of Canada as being bilingual, but there's actually only one province that's bilingual. Each province has its own official language. So most of the provinces have their language as English only. Quebec has French only, and New Brunswick is bilingual.
Oh, wow.
So you get this really big difference depending on the part of the country that you're in. Parts of Quebec can be harder if you don't speak French. In parts of Quebec, people are still fine around Anglophone, but in other parts of Quebec, people can be a bit frostier if you don't speak French, but for the most part, people in most of the country are the stereotypical warm and welcoming Canadians, which is a reputation that I'm really quite happy we live up to.
And I suppose if you don't speak French, you can always let the funky music do the talking.
So I think the perception is that things in Canada, like food and culture, are very similar to the US, certainly to people that aren't in Canada or the US. But culturally, I understand there are huge differences, and food is one of those. So what is the kind of the food situation like in Canada?
So the stereotypical Canadian food is rich and hearty and really probably pretty dramatically unhealthy in incredibly delicious ways.
You have me at rich and hearty.
And incredibly unhealthy.
Oh, yes. Keep talking, please. This is like music to my ears.
A lot of the most stereotypical Canadian foods are very working class foods, so you get a lot of those properties to them that you get from the classic American stuff like your hamburgers and fries or whatever. Probably the most famous Canadian food is poutine, which I think you've even heard of over there in the UK, have you?
So it's not commonly heard of. I had not heard of poutine before until I saw you mentioning it on Twitter a little while ago. Now, we have very similar dishes here, but just can you just explain for the listeners, what is poutine?
So poutine is fries, as we call them over here, in gravy and topped with cheese curds.
So now that does sound very good. And the concept of chips and gravy here, or fries and gravy.
Chips and gravy.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be fries. I mean, for us, fries are very thin, so thick, sort of, thick chips, so thick fries, like
chip
steak fries,
chips.
You might call them. Those with a gravy or a curry sauce or something, that is a hugely popular thing in the UK.
Mm-hmm. It's a very northern thing.
Yeah, and typically it's a thing from the north of England, but we don't tend to have them then with cheese on the top. But for you in Canada, that's a proper dish.
It's a proper dish. And I must say, it's a bit funny that the quintessential French Canadian dish is a variation of the Northern English dish. It's a bit of a strange connection there.
Well, who'd have thought it? We export things to other countries and import things back. You'd almost have forgotten that this week.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. And I don't think you probably don't have cheese curds up there, would be my guess. So I'm not sure if you know what they're like, but they're like, the texture is very different from your typical cheese, not just like chopped cheese or melted cheese or whatever on top.
I'm Googling cheese curds.
Yeah, so we don't tend to use cheese curds in cooking here in the UK. It is, we love our cheddars. We very typically have the cheese, not the cheese curds.
Yeah, the cheese curds, as far as I can tell, is kind of an East Coast America's thing. A couple of states in the U.S. and Quebec. So it's this very kind of dense, very chewy and squeaky kind of thing, and it doesn't melt.
Ooh, now that does sound quite nice. I was thinking it might be a bit like halloumi, because that doesn't
melt.
That doesn't melt, yeah.
Squeaky cheese.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's squeaky.
It is squeaky.
A very different flavor, but there's definitely some similarities going on there.
So, yeah,
but the lack of availability of curds elsewhere is kind of one of those things that has kept poutine within Canada so far. I know in Australia there's this place, the Lord of the Fries, that makes what they call poutine, and it has melted cheese on top, and it's a Canadian. There's just a certain amount of groaning, and like that's just not done.
And of course, everyone knows that if you eat at the Lord of the Fries, you can only eat whilst holding the conch. So. So are there any other big food differences? I mean, other than poutine, what would you say if I were coming to Canada and I said, okay, I would like a real Canadian experience, what would that meal look like?
So a lot of these things are really regional. Some of this stuff has started moving nationally. Like, it used to be not that long ago that poutine could really only be gotten in Quebec, but now poutine is pretty much everywhere. But there's still some things that you can only get in certain parts of the country. So for me, something that is a back home treat that I can't find anywhere else is donairs, which are native to Halifax.
So I'm curious, what are these magical sounding things?
Do you have doner kebab over there? With the rotating spit that you shave the meat off and all that kind of thing.
The sort of nondescript hunk of meat.
Hospital waste.
Hospital waste, lovely.
It's a very good way of putting it. So it's a variation on that with a bit of a different kind of meat and a unique sauce that is a creamy vinegar-based sauce that you don't get in any other version of the doner kebab.
Oh, wow. Okay. Canada sauce.
Mm. Exactly.
Halifax sauce. So what else might I have that's different and unique?
As far as treats go, the Nanaimo bar is a very classic Canadian dessert, which is from BC, which is on the other coast. The Nanaimo bar is a layered bar that has a layer of hard chocolate on top and then custardy cream and a cookie layer at the bottom.
Ooh.
That sounds amazing.
They're really good.
BRB, moving to Canada.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to do that because certainly this food is sounding fantastic.
Yeah, let's just do the next series from Canada.
From Canada. Yeah, why not?
We'll jump on the Geekly Jet.
Yeah. which we have had on standby since the referendum result.
Yes.
And
So... You're talking about everything being in the process of falling apart in your country. Reminds me a little bit of how the Canadian Archives world has kind of been falling apart for the past few years. And as you might have heard, we had a Conservative government recently that we voted out not that long ago that were kind of a terrible lot. And one of the biggest things that they did was slash the funding of our Library and Archives Canada by a huge amount and eliminate the programs that dealt with cross-Canadian archival collaboration, which led to a huge amount of disarray as all of the National Archives organizations just started falling apart all at once. And with this total void of leadership where our National Archives used to try and lead the rest of the country, it's been a bit of a mess that we're only sort of starting to recover from at this point.
Well, that sounds like it's been a tough time for archivists and librarians in Canada. Is there anything people can do to get involved? Anything that we can do to help?
Well, if you're Canadian, try and find your local archives and donate to them. A lot of archives in Canada lost a big part of their funding a few years ago, and many people are still kind of struggling to try and fill those gaps. Find community archives and donate money to them.
And I suppose if you're not Canadian, find a Canadian and tell them to donate to their local archives.
That's right.
She'll register findacanadian.com and we will make that happen.
So I'm interested to know if there's a specific Canadian kind of style of music or if it's just more like American influenced culture as well, because we were saying earlier, we think a lot of Canadian culture is sort of like American culture if we're not from Canada. Is that the case in music, or is there a difference?
In terms of pop music, that's pretty much accurate, just because the industries are pretty closely connected. So when you get like a Canadian star making it big, like, I don't know, Justin Bieber or something, it's because they've made it big in America as well. You do get folk music having more of a difference between parts of the country. And there's a lot of popular Quebecois music that doesn't get as much play elsewhere. Stylistically, it still tends to be pretty similar to American pop music, but you get a lot of different stars down there who perform mainly in French.
Do you ever feel the need to apologize for Justin Bieber?
I'm Canadian, so I apologize for basically everything, regardless of whether or not I'm actually responsible.
Okay, so we fit in quite well.
Yeah. Yes, that's definitely a trait taken from the British.
Yeah, I'm making a list of reasons to move.
And the fact that Justin Bieber doesn't live in Canada anymore is definitely
a
plus. Yeah,
that's
a
big
Canada.
One.
But let's not forget, of course, Bryan Adams, Celine Dion, Shania yes. Twain, all of the greatest artists of the 20th century.
What is wrong with Shania Twain?
Well, so you're also a fan of retro and vintage video games, much like I am. And it's something that consumes a lot of my life. What is your favorite console from back in the day?
Oh, absolutely. The Sega Saturn.
Sega.
Not a moment of hesitation in answering that.
So I think I might know the answer to this because it may well be the same as mine, but what is your favorite Sega Saturn game?
Oh, what is my favorite Saturn game? Probably Knights.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. From the soundtrack to the graphics to the storyline, what a fantastic game.
Just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I've always been a big Sega fan. I've always fallen more on the side of Sega than Nintendo. But from the early days, I had a Master System. I had a Mega Drive, aka Genesis, in different parts of the world. You know, I had a Saturn. I had a Dreamcast. I still have all of those consoles, literally, downstairs from this studio. And all of my favorite games have been Sega games. From games like Knights and platformers like Sonic through to Phantasy Star, which is ultimately, in my opinion, the best RPG series ever to have been created ever, anywhere, ever. So it's good to know that... sorry, I've gone on a bit of a rant there.
Yeah.
Good to know I'm not the only one that thinks Knights is a great game. Do you still have a Sega Saturn?
It is in my suitcase right now, en route Brilliant. To Australia.
Wow. So we've caught you just before a stint off to Australia, where you are obviously not going to be in Canada for Canada Day. Will you be celebrating Canada Day in Australia?
Yes, I will. In fact, my girlfriend and I are planning on a faux Canada Day celebration in Australia, which should be quite lovely. We're planning Excellent. On having the closest approximation to Canadian food that we can in Australia, and going to watch Bon Cop, Bad Cop.
That sounds brilliant.
And I suppose it is still the right kind of place to have a barbecue if you wanted to do that.
I think so, even though it'll be the winter there.
Yes, but winter in Australia is still basically summer in Britain, so I think you'll be fine. If we can have a barbecue in 8-degree rain, I think you'll be fine in Australia.
Yes. So I suppose we've covered food and how to celebrate Canada Day. So what other things make Canada Canada for you? What says home? What is Canadian culture?
What is Canada?
Yes.
We just don't know. Thinking about Canadian culture, one thing that I really like a lot about Canada is that we have a weirdly excellent weird art film scene. I think a part of that is because the Canadian government has done a really good job of trying to support Canadian art, and they're usually not trying to force people to make big commercial stuff. So you tend to get government support for these really weird, quirky, and very Canadian things that wouldn't get made otherwise. We actually have a government-run film studio called the National Film Board. They've done a lot of classic films. A lot of Canadians grew up watching their cartoons, like The Log Driver's Waltz, which is this classic thing about a log driver taking the logs down the river in a very classic Eastern Canada kind of scene.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and do the interview with us.
Be our Canadian for the day.
Oh, thank all of you.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles. There are lies, damned lies, and the Geekly Chronicles.
And now, the chipping forecast issued by the Geekly Chronicles on behalf of McCain at 1900. The general synopsis this evening. Potatoes, 8, alternating thick and thin, salt and vinegar later. Windscreens, 3. Autoglass repair, autoglass replace. Mugs, 4 when chipped by dishwasher, 2 if dropped. Nail polish, accidental, 3. Desired aesthetic, 7. Wood chip, 4. On the wall, 6. When I came round to call, 8. 10 when not noticing me at all. Tooth, -5. Severe pain warning. Chip and pin, 50. Contactless under 30. Golf balls, 5 iron to sand wedge, 6 in the rough. Birdie. Pets, 12. Identification likely. Norton and Sodbury, 4 or 5. Clarkson likely. Moderate, occasionally poor. And on that bombshell ends the chipping forecast.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. Now, for this week's Game of Geeks.
Game of Geeks is back.
Ooh.
So far, Kez is winning with 4-2.
Yep.
For the
listeners that may not have heard it before, Game of Geeks is where Catherine pits Chris and I against each other with knowledge of films, movies, music, books, etc.
TV shows too.
So Chris and I have to get this from different clues. How's the scoring work?
So there's 3 clues to each thing. So if you get it on clue number 1, you get 3 points, because obviously you really know your stuff. Clue number 2, you get 2 points. And if you need 3 clues, then it's just 1 point.
And who's winning this series so far?
Once again, it's you.
Oh, yeah.
Covered that already.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm just going to close the chat room while I do this.
Yeah, no cheating, please.
Yes, so you can join in the chat because we don't let Kez and Chris look join the game.
No chat room, no Google, nothing.
No. Cool. No cheating, generally.
But we've got buzzers.
We do.
You do. And this time, Kez goes... Oh. Kez goes...
There we go.
And Chris goes...
There we go.
Very
some
appropriate.
Vacuum harmonica action in our buzzers there.
Right. So we're going to start with a TV show.
All right.
Okay.
So hands on buzzers, fingers on buzzers.
My hand is on my buzzer. I've got both
whatever
hands.
Whatever you want to use to buzzer with, get it on there. And okay, so clue number one for thing number one.
What is it?
This show, it's a TV show.
Okay.
I thought you were just asking what the answer was.
No, supposed to be guessing.
It's a bold line of questioning there. Right?
You're not supposed to be questioning.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. This show, set in the 2370s, ran for 7 seasons and 172 episodes.
Oh.
Kez.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
No.
Ah! Oh! 2370s. I'm trying to... Okay.
Okay.
Next clue.
So, clue number two... I don't seem to have clue number two.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is just great.
Can I take another guess then?
If
for 2 points.
I guess that's a yes.
Star Trek Voyager.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was going to be one of the three because they're all the kind of the 2370s.
Yeah, it's all 23rd. It's all kind of 24th century, 23 whatevers. And that, but the original series was before that. All that.
That was the 23rd century. And, yeah, but they all run for 7 seasons, obviously, as well. But
they do.
It's just the number of episodes that's slightly different. So.
Okay.
That's a real trivia fact.
That really is a trivia fact. So 2 points for Kez.
Kez, there we go.
So, okay. Next up, we have a film.
Okay.
Oh.
Clue number one, a book about the making of this film was at the top of the New York Times bestseller list for several weeks, the first time that such a tie-in book had achieved this status.
Mm. Interesting.
That sounds a little bit like Sonic Spindash from Sonic the Hedgehog, actually. Anyway, so I was thinking about my buzzer.
It kind of does.
Is it The Making of The Matrix?
No.
Okay.
Although I like that guess. I can imagine that being true.
Yeah.
Okay, so good for clue number two.
Yeah.
This film won the 1997 Academy Award for Best Original Song.
Oh.
Original Song?
Song. Yes.
1997.
Original song. Titanic.
Yes.
Oh! Oh, come on, Catherine.
Have you not got how this works yet?
Well, I do think about it every night in my dreams.
Do you see me and feel me?
That is how I know you go on.
I thought we were vetoing Celine Dion.
I'm not Celine Dion.
Sometimes I'm not sure.
That song was written by James Horner. Anyway.
Okay, next up we have a kind of musical artist type.
A musical artist type thing.
All right, okay. Someone that makes music.
Yeah, music. Things. Right. So this girl group was created through the ITV talent show Pop Stars The Rivals in 2002.
Oh, now.
Pop Stars The Rivals. Okay, I've got to think back because I do remember this being on. In fact, a friend of mine that I worked with at the supermarket at the time when I was in sixth form was on Pop Stars or Pop Idol or something like that. So I used to pay attention to some
of
this stuff.
One of those identical TV talent shows.
For a girl group.
That's
2002. So I'm entirely hazarding a guess because I have no idea, but I'm just thinking sort of like early 2000s / late 90s girl group. Atomic Kitten?
No.
Okay, next clue.
So next clue is, if I can find my next clue, the group's members included Sarah Harding, Nicola Roberts, and Kimberly Walsh.
Oh.
Chris.
Oh. I know what Kimberly Walsh was in.
Oh, my God.
But it's just got out of my head. I'm... Girls Aloud?
Yes.
Hey!
2 points for Chris.
Yes.
Nice one.
And Chris is off the mark.
There we go. So we're 2 points each right now, yeah?
No, 4 points for Kez. Because right. You've got Titanic and Star Trek Voyager. So you've right. got 4 points, sorry.
Yep. And Chris still steering into that iceberg there.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
So next up, we have a book.
Fingers on buzzers.
So we're into Bookland.
Okay.
Get your head in the books.
Bookland.
This is a 1954 novel by Nobel Prize winning English author William Golding.
Oh. We're just sort of making vowels now, aren't we? I think we might need the next clue.
Do you need another clue?
Yeah. No, I'm not getting it.
Okay, so this book stances on the already controversial subjects of human nature and individual welfare versus the common good, earned it position 68 on the American Library Association's list of the 100 most frequently challenged books of the 20th century.
Now, this is why having Misty on the show was great. Good to have someone in libraries and archiving, but Misty, help me!
I don't think she's going to. William Golding, 19. When was that
54?
In the...
54?
54.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a good year. It's a good vintage for books. I'm going to need the next clue. I don't know about you, Chris.
Feel like it's on the...
Maybe the next clue will help. No.
I'm going to buzz.
Yeah. Okay, go on then.
Because...
For 2 points.
I'm complete... Just based on... I can't remember who wrote this book, but based on one throwaway comment from the interview earlier, which seems to be how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of the Flies?
Yep.
Yay!
I can never remember who wrote Lord of the Flies. I love that book, but I can't remember.
So 2 points to Chris, levelling things up, which means I'm going to have to go for a fifth thingy.
Oh, well, another question, eh? Thingy. Oh, I better put the background music back on.
So what I've got for my tiebreaker is another TV show.
Ooh.
With a name I'm finding hard to pronounce in clue number one.
All right.
So, heading forward with clue number one. This is an American sitcom created by Max Muchnick and David...
Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. The second you even started saying that name, I was like, okay, I know what that is.
I was the same.
Honestly thought... Chris has buzzed because I saw your hand go down on the buzzer and then it was Kez's noise that I heard.
Yeah, sorry, I buzzed at the same time.
The electricity says that Kez is the winner.
I do love Will and Grace.
Electricity never lies.
For context, listeners, Kez and I have just started rewatching all of Will and Grace.
Catherine seems to not have a very big pool of... Maybe you should try making the questions harder.
I think it makes it so much more interesting when because you're half thinking about the clues and you're half thinking about all the things that have happened in the last fortnight,
2 weeks, right?
Or thinking in the show so far.
Yes, the jokes from the interviews and the.
So, do we have any other questions?
No.
Think I know what that means.
This week's winner is.
It's all me.
Oh, dear. And to make matters worse, in the chat room, Scattermoon says, perhaps I need a grace period.
Not bad. Not bad.
Oh, wow.
Everyone forgets Girls Aloud came from those shows, so there we go.
Yeah. I was just trying to remember, because I've seen Kimberly Walsh on various like panel games and...
I literally have no clue who that is.
Post Girls Aloud.
I listed the three names that I'd never heard of in the clue to think, well, that's bound to make it harder.
Yeah, no, I got that one by knowing who Kimberly Walsh is. So thanks, Kimberly.
Thimbley.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. This is not a monkey wrench. This is a monkey wrench.
Oh, well, my Game of Geeks victory once again. Making me feel quite happy there.
Uh-huh.
But in case we haven't mentioned, listeners, it is Canada Day today.
just in case. An hour and 44 minutes in, you weren't up to speed on the thing we've been doing.
And huge thanks again to Misty for being our guest. There was some fantastic stuff in there. But one of the things we didn't quite talk about was some of the kind of stereotypical Canadian stuff that you can get in other countries. One of the biggest ones of those is maple syrup, right? Mm. You get that everywhere.
This is true.
But what doesn't maple syrup go with? Because in my mind, it goes with everything, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, you put it on bacon and stuff in pancakes. Mm. It's great.
True.
I've got a little pot of maple syrup here. I'm going to see if I can sip a little bit of it against my dentist's advice.
Do a shot of maple syrup.
Oh, my God. It's so sweet. But I've also got assorted things I'm going to try and dip in this maple syrup right now.
Yeah.
So I've got a prawn cracker here. Do we think prawn crackers and maple syrup go together?
I'm fairly certain they do.
Okay, I have no idea what to expect.
I've been dipping prawn crackers in a rather sweet plum sauce at home recently. So,
That makes sense.
Wow, that's amazing.
That.
Mm. Mm. Although I do dip my prawn crackers in fizzy cola beverages. So.
Mm. That's really good. All right, what else?
what else can we try?
I've got some sesame prawn toast here, in case you couldn't imagine the slightly Chinesy theme to the food we've got in the Geekly studio this evening.
When you said earlier, Kez, that we were ordering Chinese food halfway through the show, you were not lying.
I was not lying.
This did actually happen.
Yeah, so I've got a bit of sesame prawn toast here. I'm going to give it a nice soak in the in the maple syrup. That's very syrupy now.
Yes, very syrupy.
I hold the syrup pot as I do this. Mm. Try not to get syrup all over the microphone.
That would be good.
Here we go. Hmm.
How's that then?
Does maple syrup go with prawns? 10 out of 10 would syrup again.
I'm sensing a theme to all Kez's food from now on.
Yes.
Everything goes with syrup.
I mean,
this massive pot of maple
syrup.
Yes, that
is a very, very large.
No, I don't even know how much is in this thing.
It says there's a litre of
maple syrup
in that jug. We went to a discount wholesale superstore.
That's great.
The other day and purchased a litre of maple syrup, apparently.
Oh, does it go with egg fried rice?
This could be, you might have to pour the syrup on the rice.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to get a spoonful of rice and put the syrup on it. I don't want to completely ruin my rice if it doesn't go, you see.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Yeah. So I've got a spoon.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The levels to which we will go to sample food on this show.
It's brilliant. I think over the years we've been doing this show, we've shown that food can make good radio.
Yeah.
All right. I've poured quite a.
Well, it's good for us.
We enjoy it.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's good for us.
Well, no.
All right. I've got syrup and rice. Syrup and rice on this spoon. Let's see how it goes. Drum roll, please.
Well, rice pudding works.
It just tastes like rice pudding. That's amazing.
Well.
Mm. Oh, well. So basically, have all your mains and then pour maple syrup over it and it turns into your dessert.
Mm. I see.
I can imagine. I suppose it's just like having rice pudding, but with that slight saltiness of some soy sauce on there.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of that sweet, salty.
So I think I'm just going to drink the rest of this. Do you think this is bad for me?
Yes.
I imagine.
How bad? How bad could it be?
I imagine Nigel Hunt from the beginning of tonight's show would not recommend.
Oh my God, that is.
He's probably turning in his dentist chair right now.
I think I'm on a sugar high already, just from mainlining that maple syrup.
Well, I mean, that is a good way to finish off the show, as we will in about 12 minutes' time.
Alter your state of consciousness while still on the air.
Dweeb in the chat room is going to get Chinese food when we're done with the show because of what we have just witnessed.
Yep, yes. Making people hungry every week. That's our goal.
That's what we do.
The Geekly Chronicle, sponsored by every takeaway in the world.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I probably would be as well, to be honest with you.
It's the Geekly Chronicles.
So how are we doing with Would You Fund It?
Let's have a look, shall we?
I'm excited to see if
listeners tonight would fund
Hashtag Selfie.
The video game.
I'm Batman.
Your votes have been counted and verified.
Ooh.
I don't know what verified really means. That's just what people say. But Selfie the video game is funded.
Yes!
Oh, my goodness.
Woohoo!
With a large portion of our audience tonight, it would seem, have voted in favour of funding this. 82%.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of people want to see Selfie the video game, giving Kez another Would You Fund It point.
That puts us neck and neck, and Catherine lagging.
Yes.
Yes.
But you've got next week. Next week's yours.
Next week is me.
So I'm excited to see what you bring next week.
So I've got to get my Would You Fund It thinking cap on.
Indeed you do.
Did I mention that I'm not here next week?
I don't think you did.
You did not.
I'm not here next week.
Oh, no.
It'll be the Chris and Catherine show, although you're going to dial me in.
We are. We're gonna try and dial you in.
Yep, so I'm only going to be on the show for a little bit of next week, but I will be sunning myself near Baltimore.
So sure, yeah.
I will be singing Good Morning Baltimore. I will be running down the streets of Ann Arbor. I will be living it up in D.C.,
Okay.
I've run out of things to say. Really.
We'll be doing the show.
Yeah, you'll be here in the studio doing the show. But I will be here in spirit and over the phone and on the chat room.
Interacting.
I'll be around.
Yes.
Yes, somewhere. But exciting. I'm excited to be mostly a listener for a week.
Mm. I'm terrified by the process of sitting in the producer's chair. It's happened before and it doesn't get any less scary.
I'm in the chair with all the buttons and sliders and things, and I'm giving that up for a week, which is going to be interesting. I mean, it's fun. You get to make all of the noises, like...
I do. This is true. That will be very entertaining for me, I'm sure.
I love all these buttons that we accumulate over the course of a series.
Yeah, I mean, some of them stay, like, most of them go off the board. Like, you know, we've got the other bits, like the Would You Fund It and stuff, and the buzzers for the show. They get changed every week, but, you know, some of them do stick on the board, so we continue to use them. And, of course, we do have our wonderful jingles. Yes. But yeah, you'll be pressing buttons next week.
I will be pressing buttons next week. Oh, rather, in 2 weeks' time.
Sorry, I don't know why I keep saying next week.
We are not doing a show next week. 2 weeks' time, the 15th of July, we will be back. Well, two out of three of us will be back, and one out of three of us will be elsewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's nice sometimes to take a minute to just thank all of our listeners. I mean... You all do such amazing things for us, and I'm so proud to have every single one of you listen to us every week. I mean, our lives are just so much more complete having the Geekly Chronicles in to talk to you as listeners, and I'm really sorry I couldn't keep that song playing longer.
I was wondering if you were going to kind of play us out, but no, we can't bear it.
Yeah, the singing was about to start, therefore
we can't let
hell
that
on earth for everyone else. So,
but...
Go ahead.
Who's doing the outro? Thank you, Celine Dion or otherwise, for joining us for this week's show. And we hope you will join us again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you so much, Misty DeMio, for joining us to talk about archives and retro gaming and, of course, Canada Day.
Thank you so much, Chris, for being terrible at Game of Geek, so I won again.
You're welcome. It is a service I provide... to the listening public.
I'm very happy with that. Thanks to everyone who voted for Would You Fund It. Thanks to everyone who put requests in. We didn't get to play some of them. We played most of them. Can I Have One? Thank you for requesting something. Had explicit lyrics, so we didn't play that one.
Yep.
We've had various
Against
requests from people, from Alyssa, from Lassianes, from Obi, 6160, from Ben, from Paul. Thank you, everyone, for requesting stuff.
That's and all really of you good. In the chat room.
Yes, everyone in the chat room that's been chatting away.
All of your puns, Scattermoon, have,
I mean, you're
have
still
kept me going.
Making requests.
Yeah, I mean,
we are a minute away from the end of the show.
But, you know, we might keep the good ones for next week.
Yeah.
But for now, from me, Chris.
From me, Kez.
And from me, Catherine.
Good night.
Goodbye.
And happy Canada Day.
You've been listening to The Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.
Shall we go to the mall?
What, today?
Oh my God, Brad's at the mall.